You're listening to KHENLPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado. And coming up next is Truth Quest with Melody. And we'll play a little song, Give Me Some Truth, and then bring on our guest and start a program. Again, you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KHENLPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, and community-supported radio, and we're streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest with Melody, they're available at www.givemesometruth.info or linked from the khen.org website. And I'm Melody, and I have a sidekick in the room, William Wallace, and my co-host tonight is Katie O'Brien, and our guest is Anthony Pantelaresco. And you guys there?
Yes, we're here. I'm here.
Okay. Oh, great, great, great. And I'm Anthony. I'm going to read a little underwriting thing, and then we'll go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the audience about what you're all about. So, and the views expressed on this program are those of myself and or my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And support for KHEN and TruthQuest is brought to you by Apple Juice Tech, providing preventive maintenance to keep your Macs healthy for a long time. Apple Juice Tech provides service consulting classes, one-on-one training, and remote support with a secure connection to your Mac. Phone 719-966-7323 or email tech@applejuicetech.net. Okay. Anthony, go ahead and let us know about what you're all about.
I'm just a guy that knows some stuff.
I think you even state that on your website, don't you?
I do. I'm just a guy that knows some stuff. You know, I've been doing alternative healing or alternative health or however way you want to title it for over 30 years. I've been in the health industry for about 12. What I do basically is I give people information, consult with them what to do in regards to diet, things they can use in vitamins, supplements, herbs, essential oils, foods, how to combine them accurately, how to get the most out of your vitamins. For instance, if you take B1, combine it with sulfur. If you want to get enough high uptake of B12 and folic acid, break it up and put it in yogurt. Things like this that people aren't aware of. A lot of times I'm exposing a lot of vitamins as well. Some of them are at best industrial waste. You shouldn't buy them, shouldn't use them. And some are really, really good. Now, and basically that's what I do. I do an online and a broadcast on the internet as well through the Micro Effect. I do a show every Monday and Friday, talk about health. It's an open forum. It's a live show if you ever tune in, not to conflict with this show. I don't want to conflict with this show, you know. But if you have a question on health, you can get in the chat room and I answer it right away. You have access to me through my YouTubes. If you have any questions, you can YouTube me. You can IM me on the Yahoo Messenger. You can contact me through the chat, through the Magic Jack. So I'm available to anybody who's ill, sick, or trying to deal with things, and I try to give you the best possible information. My webpage has got over, I think it's got over 200 links now. I lost track. All the information there is free. Feel free to go there, download whatever you like, store it, share it. I always tell people to get networked, be in networks with each other. It's important that we stay networked, especially in the oncoming year. I've been telling people to save their seeds. So basically, I've got my finger in just about everything as far as chemtrails, genetically modified foods, alternative health, and how to fix your body.
Well, one of the things that I noticed about your YouTube videos, which is something I don't run across all that often, is somebody that kind of shows you how, or demonstrates for you how to make vitamins, or make your own supplements, or make your own various herbal remedies.
Well, the thing is, most people buy a book, eh? And I was in a situation years ago, too, when I first got started. You bought a book, and you read about a herb, had a certain property or certain element to it that could, you know, hit a specific target in the body or overall, right? But nobody really got into how do you do it. You know, how do you take your B vitamins? How do you take vitamin A? How do you take, you know, CQ10, for instance? How do you take alpha-lipoic acid? Nobody knows. But you're being told that CQ10 is great for the heart, for the brain, fights cancer, anti-aging. And you get all these facts about CQ10. You get all the facts about beta-carotene, vitamin D. I mean, how many of you have been bombarded with vitamin D? And it's a big mistake to be taking the doses they're telling you to take. The problem with vitamin D is if you take too much, it increases calcium uptake, and you wind up with calcium deposits in the heart, lung, and kidneys. It doesn't go away. So you got to be really careful with that. In the winter months, sure, you should go up to between 1,000 to 5,000 IUs of vitamin D. But in the spring, summer, and fall, if you got a 3-4 season deal, lay off it in the spring and summer. You don't need it. If you're out in the sun, your sun's hitting your skin, you're producing over 250,000 IUs of vitamin D. Nobody's going to tell you this. Okay? When you are doing things, like I said, with my YouTube, and you're watching it, the reason why I've done that YouTube is because of Agenda 21 and what's coming down the pipe and what is in the process of the pipe right now. Your access to vitamins, your access to even the things you want to plant in your garden, your access to things in your house. This bill that Mr. McCain is trying to put in the United States is the same bill that they try to push here in Canada under Bill C-6. And it basically allows a health inspector to walk into your home without a warrant, without any jurisprudence, to walk in and confiscate whatever you have in the name of it might be a threat, without any sound science. You can have your stuff locked away, and you pay for the lockup. They'll bankrupt you. This is the type of legislation that was here in Canada, and it's going on now in the United States under a different variation, but it's the exact same thing. So when I did that YouTube, I'm showing you an alternative. If you do lose your access to your vitamins, do lose your access to certain things, you can go out and harvest them in the field and put them together yourself. This way you can treat yourself, heal yourself, and without skipping a beat, if you will.
How is Canada different from Europe? Haven't they already implemented some of this process over there?
Europe is going through right now something under what they call the European Food and Safety Act. They're revamping all the vitamins and all the definitions of vitamins, what can be said. They've already sued Danone or went after Danone. They went after Cheerios. They went after Rice Krispies. And some of the things they had said about their products. They're redefining what can be actually said about the vitamins. Some of the things that you've been taught about vitamins and the definitions of the vitamins are now, they have been either voided in some circumstances, because what they're doing is they're putting the vitamins to the same criteria as drugs, and these are not drugs. These are concentrated foods, if you will. And you can't compare apples to apples and peaches to peaches. But this is what they're not doing. I mean, in Australia right now, they're trying to pass certain foods as in the legislation as a drug. That will be here in the United States as well, and that will be here in Canada. Because whatever they do in the British Commonwealth will go around. And whatever is being done in the United States and doesn't succeed there, they'll bring it up to Canada. They'll try to push it here. If it doesn't work here, they'll go to some other offbeat part of the world where they can get it passed. And once it passes in one country, it's almost a sure thing because of the regulations under GATT and the WTO. So we're all progressing in the same direction right now, and some of us are putting our heels to the ground saying, wait a minute. You know, these things have never killed anybody. McCain's argument for his bill, for his reason for his bill in the United States, which is a lot of baloney, BS, if you will, is that some of the vitamins have been tainted with steroids. And so some of the athletes in the United States and in the Olympics and everywhere else have been caught, busted, because they took a vitamin that had steroids. I got news for you. I trained some of those people in the athletic field. I will tell you for a fact, they were using those vitamins to mask the fact that they were using steroids, not the other way around. But mainstream will hear just the opposite. So it's a lot of baloney, but this is what they're trying to force. Oh, we got to protect the American people. Nobody's died from vitamins. Nobody. Nobody's died in Canada from vitamins. It's got one of the most pristine records on the planet as far as health goes. And yet here he's trying to protect us from what?
Well, are you not? Do they even track that sort of thing if they did?
Oh, they will. See, you got to remember something. Whenever you see an athlete in the Olympics, so let's go to the Olympics, okay? Everyone thinks the Olympics is a clean sport. It's a lot of baloney there, too. What happens is you got a lot of mega dollars endorsed on these athletes representing whoever is they're representing. And what happens is you get an up-and-coming guy that may upset the cart. All of a sudden, now there's this random drug test going on. And what's happened is the people that are supposed to win do, because the guy that could upset the cart now has been busted having some sort of anabolic property in his bloodstream. All of a sudden the urine samples might have got switched. All of a sudden the blood samples might have got switched or tainted. So this goes on, because this is about money. This is about, you know, I endorse a winner. And so they do track this. And they do, under the GMP that the United States brought in 2 years ago or 3 years ago, that was the biggest mistake ever. It was the same stupidity that we did here in Canada when we brought in the DIN numbers here.
And these are what? What are you saying when you're saying the...
Well, the United States, the GMP is called Goods and Manufacturing Practice, which is a lot of bullsh in a nutshell. We have what they call a DIN number. What that means is in Canada, every vitamin is registered as a drug. It's called a drug ID number. In the United States, you have the GMP, Goods and Manufacturing Practice. It sounds good, but what it really means is that the FDA and the FTC now has bigger control over the smaller operations that are going on in the United States right now. And if, for some reason, there's a problem with a product, they can literally go in there, give them one or two warnings, and then shut them down. They're out of business. And then that denies you, the consumer, free access to a variety of products which, as a result of competition in the marketplace, keeps the prices down. Secondly, what that does is, as enough of these things are yanked off the shelf, now you are denied access, and the only way you're going to get these vitamins now, they'll be under a different name, but through prescription. So it's a real vicious game going on here with this. And it's a lot of nonsense that they're playing.
Well, aren't a lot of these companies getting infiltrated either through ownership or some form or fashion with the pharmaceutical companies?
They're all owned by them. You know, that set the record straight. The odd independent that you see out there, what was it, 2 years ago, there was, if you went to NutraIngredients.com, you can do an archive search, and they had literally attacked 11 different companies in the United States for label claims. AACC, SCIT were some of them. These things actually work at getting rid of cancer. At healing cancer. I'll even take it the next step. I'm not supposed to say the healing word. Okay, remedying cancer. How's that? Okay, they will actually do this. Now, the companies don't make this claim. They do make a claim they have made some cancer claims on this stuff. And they've proven scientifically that these things work. Who did the FTC go after? Those 11 companies. Now, you can go into a drugstore, any drugstore in the United States or Canada. I won't tell you the name of the product, but I will tell you what to look for. You go into the drugstore section, and you look at the vitamins, and you pull a vitamin off the shelf. Okay, it's a nationally advertised brand. And when you flip it over, the majority of you are buying this vitamin. You're paying about $12 to $15 for this industrial waste. You're going to see on there aluminum is one of the things that's in it. Cupric oxide is another thing that's in it. That's copper oxide. Now, when you have copper oxides going on into the brain, guess what that causes? Brain damage. When you're consuming aluminum in a vitamin format, taking it directly into the bloodstream, going past the blood-brain barrier, what's that cause? Brain damage. Okay, when you put the two together, what does that do? It causes people to be extremely stupid and dumb because you have brain damage. The so next time you go into the drugstore, take a look.
Go ahead, Katie.
Wasn't the aluminum tied somehow to Alzheimer's and dementia?
See, you got it. Brain damage.
But they have actual tests that show that there's a direct correlation between these two, and yet they're putting them into the vitamins?
Listen, this national brand has been out there for about 30 years, and they have been selling this stuff in all the major drugstores throughout the United States and Canada and probably in other parts of the world under different names. And they even have one for the older people in the 50-year-old range. And it's and if you look at it, there's five labeling titles in there with aluminum. This is in your vitamin. This is in that vitamin. This is the same company, I do believe, that's hooked up with, if it's not them, it's another one that's hooked up with IG Farm, that's making another brand of vitamins for kids. So you really have to read the labels.
So in a sense, then, they've already created their own Hegelian dialectic here. I mean, by creating a problem and they come in and save the day, we're going to save the vitamin industry by bringing out these regulations because, you know, they've been letting us sell it to the public.
Well, the thing that's interesting, this vitamin company has never, ever been bothered. Now, you go into a health food store and they're getting popped left, right, and center. The FTC goes after these companies in the health food industry because they are following the regulations. So they have a record of these guys. So it's very easy to go after them over some frivolous thing. We had an issue here in Canada where a vitamin company was producing an erectile dysfunctional type of vitamin to help guys salute, if you will. And the government here in Canada held back the shipment, said they tested the batch, said the batch was defective, held the batch, cost the company over $22,000. They went and looked at the contact of the government to see what was wrong, because they had independent testing done on this by a reputable lab in the country, and the lab said there was nothing wrong with that batch, and they found that the government had not only made a mistake, but they were the ones that had defiled or screwed around with the batch, causing the contamination. This is what's going on.
So in other words, you're saying the testing agency may be in cahoots with some of the companies to go after the vitamin companies.
Well,
even though they're buying them.
Sorry?
Even though they're buying them.
The thing is, the United States and Canada has neither country has an independent government lab anymore to test anything. So if a drug company puts out a vitamin and they say it's okay, the FDA doesn't even bat an eye in the way they go because it's been produced by a specific drug company or drug chain. But if it's been produced in the health food industry, all of a sudden they go after these companies. Now, they have no real way of testing these companies, even if they go through an independent lab. Majority of these companies that are making these vitamins, a lot of them have independent labs that do the testing for them to make sure that the batch that they're getting from wherever they're getting the sources from, the majority of the sources are all coming from China, so don't be alarmed to hear that. The independents are verifying that these things are clean or not clean. This way the government can't come into the company and say, well, you know, you're being biased with your own testing. They have an independent lab. The government's, in the United States, the onus is on the FDA to prove that there's a problem with the vitamins, not the other way around. But they're trying to switch that over. And since there's no independent labs to do any testing, the FDA doesn't really have a clue on how to do it. So the thing with the vitamins, the drug companies, if you go into any kind of major store outlet, you know, one of those box stores or warehouse stores, and you go into a lot of those vitamin sections there, a lot of that stuff there is just as much junk. You know, when you look in the vitamin, it's got propylene, ethylene glycol, propylene glycol. You've got antifreeze in there. Because that's what that is. You go to one of these.
Why would they be allowed to put that? Why would they be putting that in there if they had any kind of conscience at all?
It's not about conscience. It's about breaking you down. Here you're thinking you're taking something good for you, something that's going to nourish your body, something that's going to protect you. And instead, you're taking something that's actually going to speed up the process of breaking you down. You're going to go to a doctor. You're going to say, hey, doctor, I got a pain here. This is not right. My head's oozy, whatever. And as a result, you get a drug. So they're not, they've got a method to their madness of keeping you cycled into this area of illness.
Okay, what have you found ethylene glycol in?
Oh, if there's a vitamin C, I found it in that. I found it in multiple vitamins. If you're in one of these membership type stores, you have to have a membership to go and shop there. They're the worst ones. Hmm. They all have them in there. I go to Michigan sometimes. I go with my mom. We go into this one of these stores. We have to have an identification, you know, membership or whatever. So we walk in, and I'm always, you know, I'm perusing everything. I check the tech stuff out, and I check out all the foods and stuff, and I'm reading all the labels. I'm seeing all the soy and canola and the preservatives and whatever that's in there that is killing everybody and causing, you know, cancers and whatnot. Then I go into their little drug section, and I look at all the vitamins, you know, even the fish oils and the vitamin E's, which are all laced with soy and all kinds of crap. And then you start looking at some of the other things, and propylene glycol. My mom bought some stuff, thought she was making a deal. I says, Ma, don't take this anymore. This has got antifreeze in it. What? She didn't see it. And they're making the print smaller and smaller, so you're not able to read what's in it either.
Yeah. And then if you really do question it and the people get in an uproar, then they kind of do like they did with aspartame and change the name.
Yeah, like Amino Sweet. Yeah, I know, eh? Unbelievable.
Well, what would be the reason that they would be putting these in to dumb down the general public? I mean, are they trying to create brain dysfunction?
Look, you've got a generation of kids coming up right now. I don't know if you've noticed, but they're as dumb as a bag of rocks, a lot of them. You know, they're as dumb as a bag of rocks. A lot of them don't, if it wasn't for Velcro, couldn't tie their shoes. Have you ever seen some of them, 16 and 17 years old, and how they communicate and enunciate their words? They can barely speak English, and they're born here. That's brain damage. That's soy damage. That's canola oil damage. That's aluminum damage.
Yeah,
that's, you know,
part of
chemical damage.
Part of it's training, too, though, when they learn to text, and they text in a linguistics that's not even really acceptable to the general populace. It's like they're purposely putting them outside the realm of being able to communicate, even
okay,
if they could think.
Think of it this way. You get something that causes brain shrinkage, okay? For males, eating soy is like eating poison, pure poison. Males are tied to zinc and tied to testosterone. That's how we think. That's what regulates the brain. Women are tied to zinc, too, but not to the same extent. They're tied more to other things like calcium, magnesium, and other minerals. Men are tied to zinc. What does soy pull out of the body? Zinc. What it also does it do? It destroys the thyroid, pulls out iodine. How many women are out there today, by the time they were 12 years old, were having sex? It's because the soy had caused such a promotion of their puberty to come on quicker than they were able to mentally mature. The guys, again, you take away the zinc, you take away the testosterone, and all of a sudden you got this estrogen flowing through their bodies. Their brains are scrambled. Then you got to remember when they're making soy, and this is where you get all this nonsense about soy and how good it is and how wonderful it is and all this other baloney. You know, how Asian women don't get breast cancer. A lot of codswap to that. The reason why they don't get the same amount of breast cancers, and they get them there, is because they're eating a lot of iodine and vitamin D. And that's the reason why you don't get a breast cancer or testicular cancer or prostate cancer, because you're using these two elements. Now, when you're using something as estrogenic as soy is, they strip it with three sprays of alkaline sprays in aluminum containers. Then they strip it with Drano. This is what you're feeding your kids with baby formula. So it starts at birth or shortly after birth, causing brain damage, you know, endocrinal damage. So you get that going. Then up the way, you start adding a little bit of aluminum and a little bit of fluoride in the water and a little bit of aspartame and some MSG and some canola oil, which destroys the thyroid and scars the heart. And before you know it, you've got a dysfunctional race of slugs that will go to war and fight your wars and protect your special interests. This is what they want. We don't want intelligent people anymore. We don't want scientists. We don't want people to make changes in the planet. We want slugs. We've got too many people out there. We've got to get rid of some of you.
So you actually see it as a way to actually get rid of people being able to know what's going on?
Well, yeah, for sure. Look, I was, true story, I was in Calgary, Alberta. And Calgary, Alberta is one of the most expensive places in Canada to live in. And this gal came from Newfoundland. So their nominal wage is about $5-6 an hour, which because it's a depressed area. So when she came to Alberta, she made $7.50 an hour. She thought she was in her glory. $7.50 an hour won't even buy you bubble gum in Alberta. Now, because she just saw the figure that she was making $7.50, she never took into correlation the fact that it's costing her $21 an hour to live in this area. This is what I'm saying. This is brain damage. Okay? You can't see it. You know, if you give people enough drugs, enough booze, enough tobacco to contain them, to satisfy them, to keep them, you know, sort of filled up in the days, you can get away with murder. And that's just what goes on.
Now,
Where
are you finding your information on the vitamins and how they process them and who owns the companies and all this? Where are you getting this information?
There's a list out there, and I had it at one point in time. I don't have it now. I can get it from a friend of mine down in Arizona. There's a list out there, Good Foods, Nutrafoods, and all these other companies that you go to. They're owned by the major supermarket chains. Your drug companies own the majority of your vitamin companies. They're producing it for them. The odd independents that are out there, in my opinion, the GMP was put out there to knock out the small enterprise, free enterprise systems, because a lot of these companies that are coming out with their vitamins, they have actually better quality than some of the more major brands or the more popular brands, even in the health food industry. So you got to get rid of these guys. But it goes on. Now, there is a list out there. You can, and it's online, too. I just don't know how to get to it. I don't have it in front of me. I had a whole sheet. I had a whole graph. It had, like, little circles, and this was Nutrafoods and who they were affiliated with. And
well, if you can run across that, I'd appreciate it, because I'd like to
I'm
see
sorry?
It. If you can run across that, I'd appreciate it, because I'd love to see that.
Okay,
I've had an ongoing discussion with someone who is affiliated with one of the major homegrown Utah companies, and they seem to think that they're not being taken over by the pharmaceutical companies, but yet I can go online and see that they've already got people
taken over.
Yeah, they're already taken
over. See, this is what happens when males eat soy.
Well, Anthony, what would you recommend for us getting rid of these guys?
Oh, you don't want to hear that. That's not right. It wouldn't be very polite. Trust me, I have no use for banks. I have no use for insurance companies. I have no use for tax government tax agencies. I have very little use for politicians. I think they're the biggest waste of time and consumer taxes going, since the corporations are already controlling the United States and Canada anyway through the banks. I don't see why we're even voting for half these guys, because a lot of them are nothing but distractions. That's all McCain is one big distraction. My solution would put them in a rocket, aim it toward the sun, and make sure there's no steering or remote control, and just get enough fuel to get there. I don't even want their DNA on the planet. That's how much of a disdain I have because of what I know and what I see going on just through my end, with the GMOs, the genetically engineered foods, the destruction of the land. Insects now carrying transgenic genes. Now we want to have cloned meats. We're allowing cloned meats to come into the market. Canada's going to have something called the Enviro Pig, which is where they're going to cross a mouse with a pig so they can reduce the phosphorus in pigs.
Anthony,
you know,
I'm going to just kind of I'm just going to remind you a little bit about, even though it is a little bit later, we still kind of have to watch what we say. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not going to get into the more salt of the earth language, if you will. I have really no use for these guys, honestly. I think they should be rounded up, hung on the highest tree, and left out there for whatever as a sign for the next group that gets in power, that if this happened to them, this will happen to you. And that, you know, we get a little bit more, get more back to earth on what we should be doing.
You know, you got into, when I first heard you on the Micro Effect, you were getting into some of the combinations and talking about some of the, and you started out a little bit when we started this evening in getting into some of the combinations that a lot of us aren't aware of that we shouldn't be combining with our, our nutrients or our vitamins. And you have some aspects there that, you know, was unique to me, that I was new, and I've been kind of paying attention to this arena for 40 years.
So you got me beat by five.
Yeah, but you've been studying a lot harder.
Let's look at biology really quick, right? Biology 101, fundamental stuff. Everything's about the absorption, assimilation, absorption, and then removal. And when you look at how specific things are absorbed, minerals, for instance, are fermented into the body. Okay, you break them down with your acids, but it's through the fermentation process where you actually absorb your minerals. This is why yogurt is one of the best sources of calcium. Not milk, yogurt. See, milk has a lot of sugar in it, and sugar displaces calcium. But when you ferment the sugar out, now you've got the real protein, the real mineral that's involved. If you can get it raw milk, unpasteurized milk, not this so-called whatever they got going on in the stores. Leave that stuff alone. Go to a farmer, get a goat, cow, sheep, and start using that again. That actually cured tuberculosis. Takes 4 weeks. You got tuberculosis, you get a person on raw milk, it will do the job. We've had people actually get recovered from cancer using raw milk. So giving them a herbal tea combination, have them drinking the milk, and 3 weeks later, they're back to life.
Okay, but so, I was listening to something just recently, and I thought it was on yours that there's something about pus in milk. Now,
That's if you ferment it. No, sorry, that's if you pasteurize it and homogenize it.
Okay.
You get milk straight from a cow or from a goat or from a sheep, and you milk that thing and drink it, that's the best milk going. I tell you, I had to live on that in Arizona, and I bet you I put on about 10 pounds of muscle with that stuff. It was so lean, I got so filled with it. It would hold you good 7-8 hours a day. This is the reason why it's not in the market, because the food industry would take a beating. You have that raw milk with one egg in there, iodine, propolis, some cinnamon, the essential oil of cinnamon, you blend that together and have a potato with it, you're good to go for 7 or 8 hours. And I guarantee you, if you did that for a while, you'd start seeing some lean muscle, and that's without exercising.
Why the potato?
That nourishes you.
Why the potato?
But you need the certain B vitamins that you don't get in milk, and you need the carbohydrate. You still need some carbs, okay? Brain needs glycogen, so does your liver, so does your cells. You do have to have some sugar. And when you add the sugar with the fat that's in the milk already, it's a balance. And you maintain your sugars for a longer period of time. You can go almost, most people who've done this, that I've talked to even when I was down in Arizona, 7-8 hours is where you start to feel the sugars start to finally flitter in. But you go almost all day and you're solid. I mean, you're good to go.
So how did you get into this?
When I was younger, I used to play sports. And at the time, we had this thing with the roid rage and anabolic steroids. So at the time, I was about 155 pounds soaking wet, and I played hockey. When I was playing with guys who were 200-pounders, well, when they hit you, you knew it, eh? So anyway, I started training, and I started doing some research. I read the Bible, all the dietary laws in the Old Testament, and I was looking at that and understanding why they ate certain things and why they didn't. And when you're in the desert, you really begin to understand that the biblical laws of why you don't eat certain things and why you do. It made perfect sense when I lived in Arizona why I wouldn't eat, for instance, pork or anything that's dead because of the valley fever they had, the fungal growth in the desert and sand. You breathe that in there and you're eating something sugary or something that's that has a high, that eats a lot of fiber that doesn't break it down. This is why you didn't eat horses or mules, because they ate the grasses but didn't digest them completely. So if you ate the meat, you got the sugar. If you got the sugar, you fed the fungus. This is how it worked. Well, this is how I started studying my thing, and then when I got into this, all they had was spirulina, bee pollen, vitamins, and some can of beans, and some protein powders. So I just, one thing led to another, trial and error. I bought just about every supplement on the market, found what worked, what didn't work, and up the way have come up with my own little assessment, if you will. I've seen things work, seen them work with people. I've helped train people. I've consulted with people, showed them what to do, what to take, the feedback I got on it, the stuff I've used, what I've really seen work, and what I've seen really works, how to make some of these things actually work, and why some of these things don't work like they're supposed to. So that's what got me going, and I've stayed at it, and then one thing led to another, and before you know it, I'm helping people with cancer and everything else under the sun, hepatitis C, and you name it. So here I am today doing radio and talking to you.
As far as, I mean, on your YouTube videos, you demonstrate how to make your own vitamins. And what got you into thinking you could do it? I mean, in other words, have you been to places where you watched them process this stuff and make them?
Well, you know, when you're playing with stuff, and I make my own stuff all the time. I make my own herbal remedies, I make my own herbal teas, make my own creams and lotions, I make my own tinctures. So I've been doing this for a while. And just through observation, just watching, when you read your vitamins, for instance, and I talk to chemists here too, so I try to stay as close as I can to what's being sold on the market. So when I ask them how do they formulate these things and how they do these things, I have my own ideas, and when they validate what I've already been thinking and how they're doing it, then I proceed to do it. So when I show you how to make a vitamin there, that's exactly what goes on in any manufacturing process. It may be a bit more refined, and it may be a lot more powdered, but you can make it essentially the same way. The difference between what I've got there, what I show you on the YouTube, and what you're getting at the store is this, what you're making, has no magnesium stearate, has no canola oil, has no propylene glycol, has no hard wax, no carnauba waxes, has nothing in it other than what you put into it. And the way I'm looking at Agenda 21, we're going to need to know how to make this stuff.
Okay, I'm just wondering if you're bumping something or whatever, because I can't tell where this extra sound is coming that's kind of rattling in the background. Is that on your end, or is it?
Okay, how's this? Oh, you know what it is? I know what it is. All right, hold on a second.
Okay.
How's that?
Well, I won't know unless you start bumping it again.
All right, sorry about that.
Okay.
As far as the foods that you're talking about, you said that you had gone through the Bible and taken a look at some of the stuff in there. What would be the things from the Bible that would be recommended for good health?
Milk and honey.
Okay.
It can't get any simpler than that, boy. I'll tell you, that will hold you forever. You know, when you look at the dietary restrictions, I shouldn't say restrictions, regulations, that would probably be a better word. They weren't really restrictions. They were actually regulations. And when you look at, for instance, not eating dairy with meat, it's a common thing, most of us know this, but when you eat dairy with meat, you actually shut down the stomach's ability to digest meat because it curdles in the stomach and creates an alkaline mess in the stomach. Not a good idea. So if you're eating pizza, the best pizza to really be eating is a vegetarian-type pizza where you got pineapple and whatever green and red thing you want to put on there. And I do advocate eating a good pizza as long as the dough isn't made with soy flour or canola or anything else. I even tell you to put a little olive oil on top and some thyme. You know, and because thyme is the second strongest antioxidant food you can eat. People don't know this either. Clove is actually the number one antioxidant food you can use for both fat and water-soluble. And they measure it in ORAC. So when you look at some of the old spices back in the old days, some of those things have some of the most potent healing properties going. So when you look at getting back to the Bible, when you look at a lot of the meats that God said you could eat and some of the meats he said you couldn't eat, it was because of their environment. A lot of it had to do with the environment. Okay, you shouldn't eat pork. I don't think you should eat pork. If you want to eat it, knock yourself out. I'm not of the mindset to eat it, primarily because pork carries a lot of parasites. Pork has a lot of sugar. Okay, I saw a YouTuber, I actually got on my YouTube, where a guy pours a bottle of Coke on a pork chop, and 20 minutes later, a parasite, three or four of them come swinging through the meat. Made my day. So, you know, you don't eat snakes for the same reason. You don't eat scavengers for the same reason, because they're eating stuff that's already putrefied and rotting, and when you eat it, you would get the same effect. So when you're in a desert and you're breathing in dust, you got to remember 3 million Jews walking through a desert, kicking up dust. You know, they're breathing that. So anything that they're going to eat has to be as powerfully antifungal as possible. Guess what honey is? Antifungal. Guess what raw milk is?
Okay, so if you're saying antifungal, then, you know, I saw in one of your videos you were using maitake.
Oh, yeah, definitely,
okay,
for cancer.
Okay, so as it...
A defraction maitake, okay? Not just a maitake, a defraction. There's a difference.
Okay, and what is that?
One is the actual extract of the maitake mushroom, so it'll be a higher concentration. If somebody has cancer and you're going to use a maitake mushroom, use a defraction. It's the only one I have ever seen work. Now, it doesn't mean the other ones don't work. This one, we have seen it consistently do the job. But it doesn't do it by itself. It has to be synergistic with the SCIT and the IP6. That's what we've seen work. tell you a true story. We had a woman about 18 years ago, walks into the store. I wasn't there at the time. And she had a cancer, lymphoma from the breast down the liver. Usually that's nail and coffin, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's, here's your blanket, we'll see you in the next life kind of thing. So the guys asked me what I thought we should give her, and I gave him this formula. I was redoing some research. I saw it. I said, this thing should work. So I said, give it to her 5 or 6 times a day. Normally you give her 3 times a day, and we gave her a whole list of protocols of what she should do and shouldn't do. No tap water, no soy, no red meat, no sugar. She could eat the white meats. She could use unpasteurized honey, reverse osmosis water, distilled water, and gave her the whole list. So she followed this thing right to the T. I mean, she did not deviate. I mean, 6 weeks to live, she decided she was going to put her nose to the plow. Anyway, 4 weeks later, they did a biopsy on her, an incision, wanted to see how far this thing had progressed. They couldn't find it in her anywhere. Now, we've seen this thing work time and time again. It doesn't work all the time. But it does work for a lot of people, especially when you apply the other protocols. If you're going to keep eating the stuff that causes you cancer, you're spinning your wheels, eh?
So you're saying, okay, and then when you were talking about the parasites, and I'm hearing that, okay, isn't cancer a fungus?
It's, okay, depending on who you're reading. All right, cancer in a nutshell. Okay, you want to know what cancer really is? It's an overload. Whether it's an endocrinal overload, look, if you're touching dish soap, handling rubber, playing with plastics, you are going to get an endocrinal cancer because those are xenoestrogens that are going to bind to your receptor sites, whether you're male or female. Females get breast cancers and cervical cancers because you have a higher level of fat. What happens with estrogen? Estrogen binds with fat, which binds with more estrogen, which binds with more fat, and it mutates. This is why you don't eat soy. All the nonsense about genistein and daisodin blocking the receptor sites for endocrinal cancers. A lot of hogwash. What happens is your body can register your own hormones. It produced them. What it can't regulate is the foreign ones, the mutations, the synthetics. This is what it has a hard time with. So when you're using a synthetic, that's what can mutate. And when you're exposing yourself to some of these chemicals, pesticides, fungicides, petrol products, oil, you wind up with a cancer. You can get a cancer from eating too much sugar because, again, it's going to feed produce what they call an anaerobic condition. So it can be as a result of diet. It can be a result of an alkaline acidic imbalance. Okay, you're too acidic or you're too this or too that. So it's not just one thing. You know, that's almost like categorizing every human being on the planet as one gender and they're all the same size and height. It just doesn't work that way.
Okay, so again, where would I find that kind of information?
You'd have to really, really study a whole lot, see a lot of BS, and go through a lot of it. I've read the different books. I read Hilda Clark's books. I read a lot of the different books. Just my own personal experience as well, working with people who have cancer and other health conditions. You see the literature, then you see the reality. And every time I'm dealing with somebody with cancer, it's always something a little different. And they've got all kinds of names for every kind of cancer under the sun. I'll give you another little neat tidbit here, okay? The guy that came up with the baking soda remedy, this is nothing new. This actually came out back in 1904. They knew in 1904, if you took baking soda, vinegar, and nitric oxide and consumed them, cancer would die, and their cure rate was 8 out of 10, 80%. Not too bad. And they knew this back then. So this is, and again, you can find this information. It's not hard to find. I'll send it to you if you can't find it. They have known that a lot of the cancer issues that are out there today is a result of toxins. That's all it is. An overload. Your body has gotten overloaded some way, somehow, and that's what you have got to clean up. And the glands and the organs inside is what you have to rebuild.
But going through chemo, Anthony. Okay. But gee, if it's set up to where you can't talk about this sort of thing without being threatened with prison or whatever, then it you kind of just aren't going to be able to get access to this information, correct?
You know, I don't know about all that. I'm talking to you right now on it.
No, but there's a lot of people
on it. I got a web page. I'll tell you the truth, that cancer link I've had on my web page has been knocked off 3 times.
Yeah, but I've heard a lot of people that have had the fear of God put in them over speaking about things that you're speaking about that, you know, it just depends upon who and where and what, correct?
It depends on who's getting razzled and dazzled, okay? Who's losing money? That's what it boils down to. In the past, there have been guys who came up with cancer cures. One guy actually fled to Mexico, and the FDA went and yanked him back and brought him against his will, violated his civil rights.
What's that?
There was a guy in Canada came up with something, and they killed him and confiscated his papers. So yeah, you got to be kind of careful. I mean, right now I don't think they really cared whether you live or die with cancer or whatever. With all the other things going on around us right now, like I said, with the genetically modified foods, which actually can shred your guts and shred and change your DNA, with the chemtrails above us, with these so-called tsunamis, which I have my own concepts on. They, I think, pretty well figure they've got everybody buffaloed anyway. So you can, you know, I'm saying what I'm saying, and we're having the show tonight talking about this. Whoever's listening on this is going to benefit. You know, again, the information is there. It's on my page, on the YouTube. You've got a condition, go check these things out. Download whatever you like. Take what you need. Follow it. See what happens. We have to be more networked as a people who are awakened. You know, those of us who are awakened need to get more networked. And I don't mean, you know, we have to be joined at the hip and, you know, sewn together. But the more of us that are spreading whatever we're spreading as far as the truth is concerned, whether it's in politics or military things or farming or whatever it may be, health, that's where it's important that we continue sort of monitoring each other in this way that, hey, this guy's talking about this. You know, we should also be looking at what he's saying. Verify, even verify what I'm saying. Don't just take my word for it because I could be bamboozling you. You wouldn't know it. You don't know me from Adam. But, you know, look at the information. See it. You know, test it. I test it. That's what I can tell you. Test it. If it works, then it works. If it doesn't work, then it's not working for you. Or it may not be accurate. But test it. Test anything you read. You hear stuff coming on the health food section. They're selling you this fantastic magical juice from Brazil that's going to put a red S on your chest, blue underwear. You're going to leap tall buildings. Bullets are going to bounce off you. Test it. Read it. Study it. Read the ingredients. You got 20 different fruits in there, and that fruit's only one aspect of it. Something's wrong. You're no longer buying that super fruit. You're buying super fruits.
Well, you know, even when I got started into studying nutrition and that sort of thing, my husband had gotten into digging antique bottles at the time, and this is back in the early 70s, or late 60s, early 70s, and, you know, every time you'd pull up a medicine bottle, it was saying, you know, this was the fantastic cure-all elixir. And some of these went back to the 1800s, it seems like early 1900s, I'm not sure because I'm not up on the history of the glasses and that sort, but you would run into these things, you know, making all these claims. And it made me real curious at the time because some of these things had items in it that were really, we knew now, would be a poison. Yet back then they were touting it to be, you know, the cure-all. And I noticed that even at that point in time when I started getting into nutrition, I think Rodell was the big guru at the time that I was running into. I mean, I'm sure there was plenty others out there, but I noticed in all his writings, you know, every time you turn around, there was the new cure-all for everything. It just seemed to be the same cycle kept going around and around.
There's a alchemist, herbalist, that I read under once in a while, and he was around the 16th century, and he had the same problem going on then. He was contending with the so-called medical or the herbal school of the day, which he thought was a big joke because they weren't teaching him the proper procedures in even harvesting or growing the herbs. In the 1800s, there was a doctor there that was using herbal remedies and poisons, because back then they had a very intimate knowledge about poison and how to use poison to cure. Even the Greeks had this knowledge with herbalism, where they could take 5 or 6 different toxic poisonous herbs that would either any one of them would have killed you on the spot, but when you blended them together and then added another 5 or 6 different herbs, they actually cured whatever, whether it was a leukemia or whatever. They knew how to manipulate that properly. We've lost some of that today. Some of us are learning it again. Some of us are it's coming back. And so we are getting back to some of this, which I think is important, because some of the things that we're going to be, are being exposed to, I shouldn't say going to be, are being exposed to, it's going to take some drastic measures to cure some of these problems. A lot of the old methods aren't going to work anymore. Give an example. They used to tell you red clover was the thing to use for cancer. I won't touch red clover today with a 10-foot pole for that. Reason being, it has 5 different estrogens in it, and it can actually exacerbate a cancer. So, but back in the day when they used red clover, they weren't eating soy by the pound. They weren't being exposed to all the xenoestrogens that we're being exposed to today. They didn't have the pollution index that we have today. The water was still fresh and clean. Now, back then, you could have got away with it. But today, you overload an already overloaded endocrine system with something else like that, you're asking for problems. Now, again, you can get into a huge dispute over this, and you do get that in the ranks as well. You know, oh, God, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I've seen what I've seen, so I have to go by that parameter. You know, when they're telling people to eat soy for cancer, I just about fall out of my chair. You're actually speeding the process up to kill these people. When they give them those little canned drinks, I think they're called Ensure or whatever, that's a soy-based protein. It's garbage. The only thing I'd use that for is fertilizer. So this is a poison. So back then, the marketing hasn't changed. Look at the drug industry. Every time you watch TV, which I don't watch, but when I visit my mom, I turn it on. Every time there's a channel, even between the news, whatever, what are you getting hit with? 5 or 6 different drug companies. You know, the latest and greatest thing for breathing. The latest and greatest thing for erectile dysfunction. The latest and greatest thing for heartburn. The latest and greatest thing for, and it goes on and on. And these drugs are toxic. Poison.
Well, I always heard
that. Well, it's always interesting to hear the disclaimers. Don't touch these if you're going to have children, you know, at the end of them, and yet people still buy them.
Because people have been matrixized and brainwashed and dummied down, and whatever term you want to use, they have been so conditioned to be sheeple or sheep-like in regard to just following the beat of the drum. Nobody's asking what's the music anymore. We're just listening to the drum and going along with it. And I tell people all the time to read the labels. It takes usually 3 or 4 cracks of read the label, read the label, read the label. But when they finally do start reading the labels, oh man, I get phone calls and emails. Holy cow, did you know that this was in this product? Holy cow, I didn't know this was in this. Non-stop. It's amazing once people actually stop to read what's in their box of cornflakes, what's in their can of whatever, soup, or what's in their canned tuna. Like in the United States, you can't go into a grocery store, a normal grocery store, and buy a can of tuna that doesn't have soy in it, unless you go to a health food store. They've got vegetable oil or vegetable broth in there. That's soy. People don't realize that's soy, but that's soy. It's a cheap filler. When you buy certain lunch meats, okay, everyone was worried about sodium nitrate and sodium nitrite. I can neutralize that in 2 minutes by taking vitamin C. But what they've also thrown in those lunch meats is soy, again. So you're eating soy in the tuna, you're eating soy in the lunch meats, you're eating soy in the bread, and these are poisons, yet we're being marketed this.
I was always under the impression that the soy was just not digestible with the enzymes that the humans have. That's not true?
What it does is soy, when you eat soy or drink the milk, or whatever it is you do it, if you slap it on your face or put it on your head or whatever, it goes into your gut and literally causes your, for young kids, for instance, babies who are being fed a formula, it causes the esophageal tract at the stomach to squeeze shut because it's poisonous and the body's resisting it. Eventually the child will eat it because it has nothing else. Now what happens is it has what they call a trypsin inhibitor. This blocks your pancreas from producing trypsin and also blocks it in the intestinal tract. So now you've got something fermenting inside of you. Now you have to also remember one other thing. This is a genetically modified product. So now it's changing your DNA structure in your intestinal tract. This has been validated.
Okay, now what you're saying then, because like my husband had alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, and he just ate anything that had soy in it, and I couldn't, you know, control that. And it's a trypsin, and I'm trying to see if I'm thinking this through correctly. If he had an antitrypsin deficiency, and it has a trypsin inhibitor, am I going in the right direction, or am I off base?
What do you mean, thinking that it'll block his absorption, or you're saying that it might?
Well, what it did is it created a lung condition that he had, you know, he couldn't breathe.
Yeah, well, of course. He was fermenting a toxic gas in his body.
Okay?
He was. You have to remember, this stuff, honestly, there's nothing good about it. You know, when you look at it, first and foremost, like I said, was it 80 to 90% of the market's soy today is genetically modified, genetically altered. Then the process itself is very harsh. You know, 3 alkaline sprays in the aluminum containers. Now it's absorbing aluminum. So now here we go, back to brain damage again. Then they cook it at high heat to break down the estrogen in it, which they can't do it. They've said themselves that the estrogen content is so high in the plant it's right into the fiber itself. Then they spray it with liquid Drano, and then they cook it again. Then they start to process it.
And liquid Drano, what's the chemical compound of liquid Drano?
Na, what the heck is it? Na something.
Is it lye?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a type of lye.
Okay.
Okay, then now it attacks the thyroid, shuts down the thyroid, blows out the iodine, it's a goitrogen. It then shuts down the esophageal lining and eats at that, causes the pancreas to shut down. It attacks the pancreas at the point where the pancreas releases the trypsin. Literally eats it up. Then it goes into the intestinal tract and literally disembowels a person. This is what it does. All the IBS and all the Crohn's and all the leaky gut, quit eating soy, start using glutamine, colostrum, MSM, onion and apple, and you'll repair that again. You'll get that right back again. You know, you don't have to eat all those things at once, but these are some of the things that will heal the system. I always tell people, take 2 apples, peel them, 1 onion, juice them, then take some white wine, fuse it together, and blend it together for 10 minutes. Take a shot of that 3 times a day. That'll start healing the intestinal tract.
That's apple, onion, and
white wine.
And white wine.
Yeah, okay. 2 apples, peel them. Unless you can get them from an orchard, you can get them from an orchard, and they're not sprayed, just cut them open, make sure there's no worms. Throw them in there, seed and all, then you'll get the cyanide or the laetrile in this, so you got another element there that fights cancer. Apples have high levels of quercetin in them, so do onions. They both help both regenerate the intestinal lining. They both help restore the liver. They both bind with metals. One has pectin, one has a type of cysteine.
So pectin is a good metal, is a good, works to take metals out of the body?
The intestinal tract, for sure, yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And what the other thing it does, which is a real beautiful thing for those of you who have damaged intestinal tract as a result of soy and some of the starches you're eating, it also will absorb moisture or it will bring moisture to the intestinal tract. So for some of you who are having problems with constipation, I usually give them a little formula where you take oatmeal, soak it, do not cook it. The next day, you add 2 ounces of yogurt or kefir, plain, 2 tablespoons of applesauce, and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. Mix it up, consume it, see what happens.
Okay, let me go ahead and do a station ID here. And you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, community-supported radio. And we're streamed on the internet at khen.org. And if you would like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs, A Truth Quest with Melody, they're available at www.givemesometruth.info or linked from the khen.org website. And support for KHAN and Truth Quest is brought to you by Apple Juice Tech, providing preventative maintenance to keep your Macs healthy for a long time. Apple Juice Tech provides service, consulting, classes, one-on-one training, and remote support with a secure connection to your Mac. Phone 719-966-7323 or email tech@applejuicetech.net. And tonight, my co-host, Katie O'Brien, and my quiet sidekick, William Wallace, and our special guest, Anthony Pantolaresco. Is that how you pronounce it, Anthony?
See, I can tell you are educated in the Western Hemisphere. You got that so good. Small Irish name, I know.
And he's getting into some of the various foods and a little politics thrown in there on top of it. So
we got to spice it up a bit, eh?
Yeah.
Nobody just wants to hear about health. We got to get some sort of antagonistic, protagonistic thing going on. And this is how we're wired. This is how we've been trained. So we got to be entertaining here, eh?
Well, tell us a bit about the chemtrails and how we can protect ourselves against them.
Okay. On my webpage, I have a chemtrail link. By all means, go there, check it out. The last count that I had, there's over 20 different chemicals in there. I don't know them all by heart, but I do know some of the main ones. Barium, aluminum, thorium, which is a radioactive material. The research I have on it basically is they've been doing this since the Second World War. After the Second World War, there was a program out called CHAFF, which was aerosoling the sky. They had CHAFFed over Escanaba, Ontario. They were a village of 700 people. And what they had done is they released a compound there, a viral compound, which got everybody sick in the community. So a lot of times when you hear the cold and flu season coming up on the TV and you're hearing about the allergy season coming up on the TV, look up in the sky and take a look at those tic-tac-toes or those lines or those squares or X's or rippled clouds. You may find there'll be more activity going on. If there's rain coming in the area, take a look up in the sky. You may find that they may be trying to divert the weather. I've seen this in Michigan. When I was down in Arizona, I was stunned. I lived there for 2 years, and I was just blown away by the chemtrail activity they have down there. I've never seen any place else have as much as they do. And I hear Texas is pretty bad, and California is too.
Colorado.
I've never been there, so I don't know.
Colorado has it, and so does New Mexico, and it sounds to me like it's all over the world.
Everybody's got it. Everyone's getting it. I mean, we're getting it here in Michigan and Detroit and Windsor as well. There's not days that go on. I mean, when there's a front coming in, we look up, and all of a sudden there's big X's over the river. There's big X's over the west end of the city. You'll see lines all over the place. I wake up in the morning, I go for a walk. I think, oh, they just chemtrailed right over my apartment. They must know I live here, you know, that kind of thing. You know. Oh, I get so ticked off. I got a friend of mine down in Arizona. She's a real trooper. She's been a campaigner and activist for a long time, since the 60s. And she's the one that sort of got me up to speed when I was down there. I knew about them in Canada, but when I got down there, I really got an education about the effect, the more gallons that these things are causing, GMO corn. They're tying it to that as well. When you got barium and you got aluminum coming down, that's, again, is brain damage. So what pulls that out? Chelators. What's a good chelator? What's a cheap chelator? Garlic, onion, apple. Make a juice. I show you how to make a juice on my YouTube, where you take onion, ginger, and grapefruit. You peel all the components and juice them together. This one you put in the jar, glass jar, and you only use a tablespoon amount of this. This stuff does not play, does not take prisoners. This stuff will kick butt in a hard way if you take too much. Ask me how I know.
Did you say one tablespoon a month?
No, one tablespoon throughout the day, like, you know, several times a day.
Okay.
Don't take more than one tablespoon until you get used to it. this stuff, if you've got pylori, it'll clear it up. You got bad circulation, you'll feel your blood flow in very short, about 2 minutes. If you've got digestive issues, it'll help clear it up. Circulatory issues, respiratory issues, you'll find yourself breathing a whole lot better. Brain fog or chem fog from chemo radiation. This stuff will help pull that out too. This stuff will bind with metals. It breaks down blood clots. It keeps the arterial lining of the arteries flexing and moving. You don't have to worry about cholesterol with this. Nobody should be worrying about cholesterol anyway. Anybody that's telling you about cholesterol causing heart attacks, tell them to give their head a shake. It never happened. This formula is so easy to make and has so many benefits. Again, the only thing you don't do with this stuff is if you are on pharmaceutical prescriptions, do not mix any of these formulas I'm telling you tonight with them, because they will amp up whatever you take by a factor of 5 or 10 or more. Okay, because this stuff will cut through you like Drano. I mean, boom.
So none of these formulas, you recommend they not be done with pharmaceutical drugs?
Right. If you're on a prescription drug, wait 2 hours. If you take this stuff, you wait 2 hours. If you take the prescription drug, you wait 2 hours. You will go to a pharmacist, and I've heard this here in Windsor, where the pharmacist says, oh, you don't have to worry about taking the drug with this. That's nonsense. When you start taking supplements and you're taking prescriptions, they should always be gapped. Don't listen to these morons who are telling you these kind of things, because they, first and foremost, don't know what these vitamins can do. I have pharmacists calling me up and asking me, here, what does this do? Because they have no clue. They're trained in pharmacopoeia, okay, not nutraceuticals. So they don't know. They don't know the interactions. So anytime you're using supplements or you're using any kind of herbal teas, any kind of remedies you're making with food, any essential oils, any bodybuilding supplements, protein powders, don't mix them with drugs.
In other words, don't take the drugs.
I can't say that enough either. But, again, you got to get people off little at a time, it seems like. You got to wean them off the fact that they become so dependent on a system that's been corrupt that now they're dependent on the drugs that they've given them. I mean, what is it? Percocet. Painkillers. Takes 6 weeks to get somebody addicted to the bloody things. Takes 6 months to get them off of it. And you got to give them about 5 different supplements because of the damage this stuff does and how it shuts people down. It's amazing.
There's two things I want to just touch on before you finish what you're saying here, but I want to make sure that we bring up the vaccine thing, and then I also want to get your feelings on raw foods as
okay.
Healing.
The vaccines, you mean? You want to talk about those?
Go ahead.
Don't do them. No proof. There's been no proof that they've ever been tested, first and foremost. I have a study on my YouTube. I think it's still there. If not, it's on my MySpace, where there was a study done in Australia using the United States studies on vaccines. They show a graph where back in the early 1900s, where whooping cough was on, had exploded, had came into the scene, was going out the door, and when they introduced vaccines, it brought them up. Brought it right back up again. Polio! What a joke! Vitamin C can cure polio. What did they do? They injected everybody with polio. They brought the epidemic on. These vaccines, if you go on my webpage, the last on my vaccine links, you'll see what's in vaccines. Mercury, latex, squalene. And now that's a beauty. Whoever designed this, you gotta give them credit. I mean, they really knew what they were doing. By injecting squalene into the body, it gives you an immune response towards squalene. Now what happens is the body now turns on itself and goes after the squalene that's naturally there. This was amazing. HPV vaccines for young women. Don't do it. It is a crime against young women. It's designed, in my humble opinion, to give them liver cancer and a whole host of other issues, cause sterility. This is not necessary. Majority of the things that will impact you, your immune system pretty well can handle it as long as you keep sustaining the body with what it needs. When you inject somebody, you bypass the immune system, and now you are infected.
What do you attribute anything that took place back in World War I with the vaccines and then maybe the exposure to the chemicals that they were using that were getting aerosolized in the atmosphere?
World War I?
World War I, when they were using the nerve gases and that sort of thing?
I don't think at that time, to be honest with you, they were using that many vaccines either. I think that was something relatively new then. It was a time, I think, when you look at that time, they were just sort of coming out of an era and they were just starting to expand and explore things. So I really don't know if there is any correlation there. I do know that the chemicals that they've been putting in there, and we went from dead culture to live cultures now. We're encasing these cultures with different things. You know, we're even using... The squalene basically is what they call a liposomal carrier. In other words, the fats will carry the stuff in the system and slowly disperse it throughout the body kind of thing. You know, this has really become a art of slowly killing people off. So, again, I don't know if I would attribute what went on then to today. I think today it's just under a whole different dynamic. It's about selling drugs and getting people sick. That's what I think.
Well, I just, and I don't know. This is just maybe something that I've kind of put together, and I'm not saying I'm right at all. It's just something that I kind of kept my eyes open and wondered about, because that was also back in the World War One era, was back when they, this was the Great War. This was going to, end all wars and that sort of thing. And at the same time, you had the Rockefellers taking over the AMA and separating them out from your other types of healing, but your other types of healing procedures. And so I'm just wondering if there might have been, and I'm just tossing that out there because I've just had to wonder, because when I sat down one day and read a poison book, I realized by the time I was looking through this, that the body has the same kind of reaction to poisons that it does to germs and things of that sort. So, I'm just wondering if there's, you have minute quantities of one, if the body still doesn't go through the same reactions. So if you throw in one or the other together, you've got a cocktail that could do all kinds of things to the body. And maybe what some of these guys that were exposed to over in Iraq might have been something similar to that.
When the vaccinations was being distributed, the last one, H1N1, the military in Germany, for instance, was getting vaccinated, but they weren't getting the same vaccines that they were giving to the general population. And in, I believe, it was the Netherlands, they had injected 120 nurses, and they all dropped sick within 24 hours, and one actually died. And in France, I believe, during that same transition, five or six nurses had died, and that stopped a lot of the movement right there. England, they refused to get vaccinated. Nurses in New York refused to get the vaccinations. They had to actually take a court challenge and to flip it over. People don't realize you can say no to these things, and you don't have to get them. These cocktails, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure the correlation is there. I mean, for them to mix and match chemicals with bacteria, they probably got the idea from there. I mean, where did they get the bird flu from? The thing that happened back in the early 1900s. So, yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that, you've hit that on the head. I really wouldn't. Nothing's new under the sun. I mean, look at the Tesla technology we're using. We're calling it HARP today. I mean, this guy had invented this for free energy. What did they do with it? They've perverted it.
Well, and that was one of the things that he didn't seem to be real happy about, the potential for perversion with some of the technologies. But I think that kind of goes hand in hand. It seems like any time they have something like that, it kind of gets can go either way. So you're saying, okay, so ultimately, what do you think about the raw food thing?
Okay, when it comes to raw milk, no problem. Unpasteurized honey, no problem. You start talking raw meat, that's where I have a little bit of a problem. I just can't see myself gnawing down on the bloody meat. I can't do it. Now, the same token, today, even if you say it's organic, you still run the risk of parasites and other things. Now, if you want to eat raw meat, it's more power to you. And you can prepare meat in a raw state where you can eat it and minimize. Doesn't mean you're going to beat it, but minimize that kind of condition. If you're talking about vegetables and fruits, there are certain fruits I don't encourage. There's nothing wrong with the fruits. It's just a lot is wrong with people. So I tell people no bananas. Everyone says, well, what about the potassium? Says, what about it? You're not going to absorb it unless the banana is black. I tell them no grapes, no raisins, no watermelon.
Okay,
no
why? Why are you, explain why you're saying this, why you're telling us about these.
90% of the people I deal with all have some kind of gut issue. And what happens when you eat these particular fruits, okay, they have such high levels of sugar, you start producing alcohol in your body. 98.6, you're a perfect medium, you've got bacterial culture in your gut, you're triggering that sugar, you are inflaming your gut. Ever notice your stomach below your belly button, how it protrudes a little bit? That's inflammation. Now, when you get people to stop eating bread, rice, pasta, cereal, and those four things on fruits that I tell you about, you have them do it for 5 to 10 days. That's it. You can eat a potato. You can eat it baked, broiled, boiled, in soup, mashed, but not fried. Okay? And you do that. You'll watch and see how the gut below the belly button starts to flatten out. And just go for a walk. No exercise, nothing. Just watch it go down. Because now you shut down what's causing the inflammation, the starches and the sugars. And because so many people have grown up on the ho-ho and the Twinkies and the sugar pops and everything else, you're loaded with sugar and yeast. You've been storing it all your life. You've got mucus all over your body. The moment you stop putting it in there, this is when the body has a chance to drain some of that out. And you may find that bowel movements may start coming back again regularly. You may find a discomfort in the bowels may start to go away because now you're not collecting this crap. And you got to remember, your wheat, your corn, your soy is all GMO. It's changing the dynamics in your intestinal tract. It's changing your DNA. It's changing your genetic structure. It's shutting down organs in your body. So as soon as you quit eating that stuff, your body then starts to recalibrate and get back online again. Now, the bananas, you can get potassium out of bananas, but it's got to be black. You got to ferment that sugar out of it. Okay? Fermentation, that's a live food. I would encourage everybody to eat fermented foods. Take some carrot juice, ferment it for a couple of days. Get the sugar out, then consume it. Scoop out the top layer of the bacteria, and away you go. You'll be surprised how good you will feel with that. Because what you're doing is you're allowing the enzymes to come out. It's bringing out all the protein and the minerals and all the vitamins that are there. And it's getting rid of the sugar. That's what we got to get away from. And that is the toughest drug to kick is sugar.
Now, if you have the proper amount of enzymes and that sort, can you deal with the sugars better?
You know what? If you, even with the enzymes that are there, they may even trigger the alcohol process or the fermentation process or the bacterial culture process even further. We are so overloaded with, sit there and think about it, just in your day-to-day. What you had for breakfast? Was there any bread involved? Was there any fruit involved? What you had for lunch? What you had for dinner? I bet you in almost every meal you had some form of bread involved with that or some sort of starch. Then when you look at the fruit that you've eaten there with it, that's more sugar. And that bread that you've eaten, unless you know what you're doing or know what to buy, majority of the people that buy these breads, you got to remember, they're not buying bread. They're buying the synthetic thing that looks like bread that's on the shelf. And they're eating that and calling it bread. It's causing huge, huge disruption in the digestive system. So for the most part, most people are enzyme deficient to begin with. I got to get people, anybody past 40 years old, the first thing I get them on is enzymes because nobody's digesting or going to the washroom like they used to at 40 years old. So the damage has already been done by that time. So again...
But isn't part of... Go ahead.
No, that's okay, sorry.
Well, isn't part of that is that they genetically engineered our wheat to the point that our bodies don't know what to do with it?
I just got a study the other day on the Hessian fly. It's one of the biggest pains in the butt for them, for the wheat. And when they genetically modified the wheat, this fly, this particular fly's stomach and intestinal tract is exactly built like ours. Does the exact same functions as ours does. And what they found was when you ate this, when they ate the grain, it went into their gut and literally shredded their stomach and their intestinal tract and it killed them. Caused a major bowel disruption literally shredded to pieces. Now, take that and compound that. What does a loaf of bread weigh? A pound, 2 pounds? So you got 2 pounds of this genetically altered grain going into your gut. If it did that to a fly that had the same stomach as your stomach is designed, what's it doing to you? You know, again, the whole DNA structure is starting to change. It's starting to shred. I don't know how many people I have here walk through the door. They're on Nexium, an aluminum base and acid. Insanity. You know, pure insanity. I've given people that ginger, grapefruit, and
onion,
and a lot of them with the pylori issue, with the acid reflux, it got rid of it for them. So then they got off the Nexium. I said, stay off of that crap because that's aluminum. That's going right to your brain, and you're going to be up the way twiddling your lips, going, you know, because you're just not going to be here. So, again, you know, it's really important that we really read. Now, unfortunately, in the United States and Canada, which are the two worst perpetrators of genetically modified food industry, we don't label that here. China labels it. Japan labels it. Philippines label it. You know, New Zealand labels it. I was there. Australia labels it. Europe labels it. But we don't. I still don't know why. I haven't heard a good enough reason for it yet, but, you know, full disclosure, when you go buy a can of macaroni and something, it'll give you the protein content and the carbohydrate content and all this content. It's going to give you, it's made with beef and soy and, you know, canola oil and blah, blah. It gives you that whole list, you know, but it won't tell you that it's genetically modified or cloned or has nanoparticles in it. So be aware.
You know, I ran across somebody, and it's been a while since I'd read this person's work, but he was going on and on about New Zealand. You know, here we, you know, here this is where we import a lot of our supposed meats and things that sort for organic foods, and he was just raving over the fact that New Zealand may have been a place where they dumped a lot of things during a past war or so, and was not even being, you know, revealed to the public. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Well, I have a friend of mine down there. She's hooked up with a group down there, Health Freedom Alliance, and they sent me a video on this Brodifolcum 1080. It's a spray that they spray along the farmlands to get rid of the rodents. Well, it's killing all the fish. It's causing all kinds of cancer. I think New Zealand isn't as pristine as everybody thinks it is anymore. There was this illusion that it was pristine, and they do have regulations there on a lot of things, but they are just as toxic as we are. The thing is, I don't want us to wind up like they are now. They hardly have any choice of vitamins. A health food store there is a joke by comparison. You could probably put everything in a health food store down one aisle in the drugstore. That's how limited they are. They're buying stuff from all over the world because they can't get access anymore in their own country. And now Australia is trying to pass certain foods that have been known to have a healing effect on people as a drug. So you got that idiocy going on down there. So I personally wouldn't say any country today, my humble estimation, has a track record of safety that I would feel comfortable with. None of them. Canada was supposed to have high regulations. That's a lot of nonsense. Like I said, when you know, we've had listeria outbreak out here with our meats. We've had other things go on. We've got more pollution in some parts of this country that is being recorded. There's no way in the world that we are as pristine as we appear to be either. So, that whole thing with the mad cow, that was such a joke. It was a hilarious joke, actually.
Why is it hilarious?
Because they found a cow in Texas amongst thousands of other cows, and they were able to trace that cow back to a farm in the middle of nowhere in Alberta. And yet they can't find one terrorist on the planet with all the sophisticated technology they got floating around above us? That's the joke.
Oh.
That is such a joke. You know what I mean? So You can find one cow in the middle of thousands of them coming from some remote place in the middle of nowhere in Canada, and they can trace that, saying that cow got that particular condition from that farm way up yonder. And then,
maybe that had something to do with the RFID chips.
Maybe it didn't. Who knows? But I have to laugh at that, I was all politics. And basically what it was is Jane Crichton didn't want to go to Iraq. Everybody else was going, so they decided to slap Canada on the wrist, and that's what happened. It's such a joke. When you hear of all these outbreaks going on, like the peanut outbreak in Georgia and the meat outbreak in Toronto, and you got, that they have this issue and that issue, this is so they can impose these idiotic regulations that really amount to nothing. And they're not changing anything except they're just eliminating the competition. That's all it is. And like I said, right now, if you took my YouTubes and you were able to take that YouTube and evolve it and make it even better, refine the process, and we're able to make a business out of what you learned from me, more power to you. I would encourage you to do so. When you're rich and shameless, just send me 10%. That's all.
Okay, now...
But anyway, if you could do that and you can't fulfill the criteria that they want you to fulfill, they'll shut you down.
Right.
Or if you're producing a product that's far superior than the top gun that's supporting the FDA or somebody else, you're done.
Yeah, they kind of have a tendency to bring you down to the lowest common denominator instead of vice versa.
That's why I do the YouTube, see, because this way, if everybody has the information that's there and they're doing it, okay, eventually they won't need the drug companies. Eventually they'll minimize some of the vitamins that they're buying now because they can get it themselves or make some things that will give them what the equivalent of what they're buying. They're maybe fermenting their foods or maybe taking their yogurt and they're mixing a B12 or a B complex in there, letting it sit overnight. And so then they don't have to use as much of the B vitamin that they're using because they're getting more than enough. Maybe they're taking a protein shake and instead of using the whey protein, they're using maybe the raw milk, instead. I think if anybody's really seriously training, if you can get access to unpasteurized milk, I think you're going to see some major heavy-duty strength gains with that. I always make mention the strongest guy that ever lived in the United States was the first guy to actually lift 500 pounds was Paul Anderson. He was a minister. This guy could press 2 400-pound dumbbells over his head, and all he lived on was raw milk. Guy was strong.
Anthony.
Yes, sir.
There's William here. I got a question for you. You were talking about taking out the competition. And I was wondering if that might be what happened to the bee industry last year, that it seemed that so many of the bee farms lost a great deal of percentage of their bees. Would that have been some attempt to take out the good food?
I thought so. When I read what happened with the bee thing, there were so many things. One of the things I read was the organic farmers didn't have the losses that the mainstream farmers did. And what happened was when the bees were out and about collecting the pollen, they were spraying the hives with a pesticide. And I thought to myself, now how idiotic can you be? Bees have bee propolis. And it's one of the strongest things you can use even as a supplement to protect and boost your immune system. The bee gets slapped with this every time it walks in and outside the hive. They've got the little entryway, which has got this coating of this wax above and below them. So they're coated. And when they go inside the hive, they have no reprieve. They kill them all. Now, I know the United States gets bees from New Zealand. They get 2 airplane fulls sent to them every day. So, my thought was they're bringing in a famine. That's what I'm thinking. Everything that I'm reading, everything that I'm seeing indicates to me that anybody who's eating anything that has seeds, start saving them. I don't care where you buy it from. Peaches, apricots, apples, cucumber, watermelon, whatever. If you've got a seed, save it. Save the pit. If there's a loss of a crop in your state and somebody in the next state has the seeds that you're growing stuff in your state, now you'll have at least a venue or an avenue of getting those seeds back into your state or province. I said the same thing here. We should really be saving our seeds. So if anybody has a problem or something happens, or there's a blight, or something that they do, who knows, with harp or whatever, you'll have those seeds. Seeds don't go bad until they get hit with water. So I've been encouraging to save the seeds and start growing your own pot garden.
Well, if they're irradiating some of them like they are with almonds, then they're not going to be, you know, viable either.
Well, not everything is going to get hit. Like I said, if you see something sprouting, believe it or not, I go to the Chinese markets. Contrary to what you hear on the radio, I don't believe half the baloney. I've been going to Chinese markets most of my life, and I got to tell you something. When you go into a Chinese market, 80% of their food there does not have soy in it. 20% of it does. You go to a Japanese market, it's all soy. Okay, so I don't even go in there. I mean, I feel like my manhood and my testosterone levels are just going right down the toilet if I walk into one of those places, so I don't even go there. I like my testosterone levels. I just don't want my T levels to be hurt. But I'll go to a Chinese market, I'll go to an East Indian market, I'll go to a Jamaican market, I'll go to an Italian market, a German market, and I'm getting a better quality of product all the way around. I go to our grocery stores here in Windsor or Michigan there, I shake my head half the time. I shake my head worse when I go into Michigan. I really feel sorry for the people in the U.S. and Michigan who are subject to eating that crap. So, I mean, those cake mixes? They've got aluminum in them. I just about fell out of my chair when I saw that. So, you know, happy birthday, you know, young Johnny or Judy, and boom, you know, here you are eating aluminum, you know, with a soy flour.
So, but one of the things that I hear, message I hear from you is also that, you know, it's the proper food combining, but one other thing I'd like you to get into is, I believe, and you were talking about amino acids. Do you deal much with them?
All the time.
Okay. Talk
the
about
time.
Them.
I use creatine all the time. I use branched chain amino acids all the time. I use about approximately 3 grams of creatine every day in my coffee, black. And I take my branched chain amino acids in there. Contrary to what you hear about taking creatine in coffee, you can take it in coffee and it works just as well. I'm not training anymore. I haven't trained in years. So I use it more or less to maintain my ATP levels and to keep my muscles from going into any kind of atrophy or shrinkage. It maintains muscle density, muscle growth, muscle energy. The branched chain also works as another way of preserving muscle and again, energy and strength. So I do that once a day. I encourage people to use these things properly. If you got, for instance, a thyroid issue, you're depressed, I always tell people to take some tyrosine, some iodine, and some selenium. Tyrosine affects the dopamine levels. Iodine affects the hypothalamus. You put the two together, all of a sudden depression goes away. Tell you a true story. Gal had lithium. She was on it for most of her life. I got her on Lugol's iodine. Told her to take 2 drops twice a day. She called me back up 5 months later and said that she was off lithium. I had another woman last week, come in here and told me I got her on Lugol's iodine, and now she's no longer using bioidenticals anymore. She feels perfectly great. The iodine, the thyroid was regulated, and her hormones got back in line.
And what's
this
that
doesn't always work for everybody, but I'm just giving some examples of how you can take these things and how they can actually work. Combining tyrosine with iodine, you'd be surprised how anxiety, depression, moods all go away.
How do you get the iodine?
I make it. I buy the products and put them together.
Is iodized salt good?
I use a Lugol's iodine. I do make it. Basically using potassium iodine and iodide salts. You put it together. I actually show you how to do it on YouTube. On one of my YouTubes, I show you how to make your own iodine.
Okay, now wait a minute. You said iodized salts. Which you're not talking about the one out of the supermarket, or are you?
Oh, no. Sorry. Potassium iodide and iodide crystals. Sorry. They're not the same thing.
Okay.
They're what they are. That's what makes the iodine. The iodized crystal and the potassium iodide. Lost for words tonight. It's where you pull it's extracted from the seaweed. So they break it down. And when you put them together, you make your Lugol's. And again, like I said, I've got the formula, I've got the ratios are on the YouTube where you can make it yourself. And it works out to between 5% and 7%. Which is equivalent to about 12 milligrams. And the studies that were done on iodine in the Japanese and some other cultures was about 12.5 milligrams a day to maintain a healthy thyroid. I think in the U.S. and Canada, I think we're barely getting 3 milligrams. So it's not enough.
Now, the creatinine... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
The creatinine, where does that come from?
Creatine is a combination of three amino acids, arginine, glycine, and methionine. Arginine and glycine work as an anabolic growth. It can actually work as far as producing growth hormone. They're precursors to growth hormone. Methionine helps regulate the liver and regulates the other two aminos in the system. It converts to NAC or L-cysteine, which then converts to L-glutathione. So basically, you got the glycine there as well that increases your glucogen levels, so it's good for the brain. For guys, it's excellent for the prostate. Arginine is there for all kinds of, all of them are for all kinds of things. Arginine is used a lot of times for bodybuilding, but it's also used for reducing cholesterol, keeping the arterial lining of the blood passages wide open. It releases nitric oxide. It becomes nitric oxide in the bloodstream for males to have erections, for females to have copulation. It's good for, again, fighting cancer. So you got a whole host of things all wrapped up in one. Again, when you put it together that way, it supports ATP production and muscle strength. Excuse me.
Because I've been seeing there are some treatment programs I've seen where they're starting to use a lot of amino acids for the treatment of addicts and that sort.
Oh, they've been doing that since the 50s. That, again, is nothing new. A lot of times they will use glycine, GABA, taurine, tyrosine, phenylalanine for mood, for brain. Sometimes they'll combine that with vitamin B3, which increases your NADH level. Sometimes they'll combine it with inositol and choline. So depending on the condition of the brain or on the brain chemistry, I should say, will depend which way they're going to go and what they're going to do with that. I always encourage people, if you're going to be doing any kind of glutamine as a supplement, always take it with taurine. Because glutamine does become glutamic acid, and taurine and glycine and GABA actually has a way of balancing that off, so your brain neurons will overload. You ever go into a restaurant, you eat MSG, and you're having a reaction? Get taurine in your system ASAP. It should negate it.
Chlorine?
Taurine.
Taurine.
Taurine. Okay, thank you.
So creatinine is that how you pronounce it?
Creatine.
Creatine. Okay. So it's a combination, and where do they make it out of? I guess is what I was asking.
Sometimes it's from soy, sometimes it's from meat, sometimes it's from grains, sometimes it's from corn, depending. Every plant has some form of aminos in them. Some have more than others.
So how do you avoid the ones with soy?
You can't. Again, when a lot of this stuff is manufactured in China, India, or even the United States or Canada, where they extrapolate a lot of this stuff, there's no way of really telling. For instance, I'll give you an example, gelatin. When you break gelatin down, basically it's the skins and the hooves and the cartilage of the animals. Now, when you break it down, whether it's from pig, cow, sheep, goat, or whatever, by the time it's processed, there's nothing left of the animal. What you've got is a complete extraction of the aminos that have come from the protein, from the animal protein. So at that point, there's nothing left as far as contaminants are concerned or whatever, because basically it's in its purest form. For the most part, most of these amino acids, that's how they are produced. Now, some of them are produced through fermentation. Some are produced through cooking. Some are produced through stripping. So it all depends. But again, there's no way of unless you have access to a plant that does this stuff, you really don't know.
I hear phenylalanine referred to as an excitotoxin.
Okay, only when it's combined, again, with aspartic acid and other things. Phenylalanine is a byproduct of tyrosine. Tyrosine converts to phenylalanine, and it works in the brain receptors in the brain for serotonin. Now, in of itself, it's not toxic, but when it's, again, being used as a sweetener with another amino acid, it may actually act as a carrier and an amplifier because of the synergy. Now we have a problem. It would be me like giving you grapefruit with aspirin. Normally your aspirin is about 350 milligram strength. You take grapefruit with it, now you're around 1500 milligrams.
And isn't aspartic acid also an amino?
Definitely. But again, when taken together just like that, just those two, we have a problem with that. Now, when it's in a full complex with other amino acids, it's not a problem because a lot of the other amino acids actually compete with other ones. So a lot of the aminos do similar things. And in some cases, some of the aminos have to have other aminos to make them work. You know, smaller amounts of certain aminos. So again, for instance, you're buying a protein powder. As long as it's not been sweetened or had any added aspartame or aspartic acid, generally speaking, there's no problem with it. Nobody usually has a reaction with that. It's not until you add that sweetener or that neurotoxin to the mix is when you get this problem. There was a fellow once that actually bought a product from that was being endorsed by a bodybuilder who won some sort of contest, and he drank a shake, and for 15 minutes didn't know where he was. Didn't know who he was, because it basically hit him that hard because of the amount of aspartame they had put into the product. So again, it's all how it's used.
Okay, but aspartame being a rat poison in its own right. So,
definitely. Ant poison, too.
Ant poison. Now, so you're saying that amino acids are kind of better in a complex, as like kind of like B vitamins, but at the same time, if they're being, you know, a lot of times they do put sweeteners in these, so you need to be able to, and a lot of them use the soy as a base. Now, this, of course, is not soy that is, I mean, it's already been pre-digested of sorts, so would that be a problem now or what?
Anytime you got soy in the equation, I don't care what it is, you're going to have a problem. Just in the process of getting it to where they have to process it, it's a toxic process, so there's no way around it. Again, not all your aminos will come from that source. For instance, you can get your aminos from eggs. You can get every amino acid you can get from eggs. You can get from meat products. And you can get egg protein products in the market today. So again, for people who are lacto intolerant or can't handle milk, I always encourage them to use an egg protein. Anytime you're playing with soy, you run the risk of some sort of damage or some sort of toxicity. There's no way around it. I mean, again, with the aminos, a lot of times, like I said, it's not just coming from soy. It could be coming from other grains, barley, wheat, rye. corn. Corn has a high level of lysine out of it. You can get it from other vegetable sources. Seaweed has certain things in it. Green tea, for instance, has theanine in it, which is another amino acid. So you can get it from a plant base other than soy. It's just we don't know, again, if the the arginine you're buying today, did it come from a soy product? Did it come from an egg product? Did it come from a gelatin product? Because you can get good quality aminos from gelatin. I encourage people to use gelatin all the time because of the way it converts to collagen in the body and the way it supports the stomach. And again, it's got the hydroxyproline for the bone, for teeth regeneration. So you've got a lot of different aminos in there. The only one it's short on, or two that it's short on, is the lysine and the tryptophan, which I don't find to be a big deal because I can get that from other sources. But again, you can get a clean amino acid base derivative right from that product. So again, where it's all coming from for sure, completely, that I don't know either. I do use the aminos. I do use a lot of different ones for different people. For instance, someone's got, they're overly anxious or whatever. I may give them taurine. I may give them glycine with iodine. I may give them iodine with tyrosine. I may give them inositol with B3. I may give them B3 with tyrosine. There's a lot of different combinations there for that, which I've seen work with a lot of different people, depending on the condition and what they've got going. Bipolarism.
What about inositol cysteine? The inositol cysteine. Do you use that a lot?
Yeah, I'll use that. The inositol cysteine becomes converts directly into L-glutathione, so it's a better product to use than the L-glutathione itself, because L-glutathione has to be broken down, reconstructed, and brought back. Well, the inositol cysteine is broken down one step already, and it goes directly into L-glutathione, which is your main antioxidant in the body. It, too, is a chelator. It will pull out cadmium, mercury, lead, aluminum out of the body. When combined with vitamin C at the 2-to-1 ratio, it can knock out cancer. It can support the respiratory, supports the liver. You added B1 to it and pull lead out of the brain. So you got a lot of different combinations with that that works really well. Those two alone, vitamin C and NAC, can boost your immune system exponentially.
What type of vitamin C? What form?
I just use the ascorbic acid. I don't get caught up in that, what do you call that there? They got one there with a whole food source. I find that whole thing so ludicrous and so ridiculous. They have actually knocked ascorbic acid to sell a product, their product. And ascorbic acid is over 60 years of concrete evidence that it cures. I mean, the last thing I read about or heard about was how it saved a guy's life with H1N1. He got hit with it down in the Philippines. They gave him 50 grams of it intravenously the first day, 75 grams the second day, 3 divided doses of 25, 75 grams the third day. By the fourth day, he's back to life.
That's a lot of vitamin C.
it couldn't hurt you for nothing. You know, and all that talk about vitamin C, it's a water-soluble. I mean, they're using a quarter of a kilo, 250,000 milligrams. For brain cancers down in New Zealand without an issue. So, again, I got an ascorbic acid link on my webpage. You want to see some of the history of some of the guys that made this, that made the discoveries? Dr. Cathcart, Linus Pauling, Dr. Ross. You know, they're combining green tea with vitamin C now because the vitamin C makes the green tea 13 times more effective as an antioxidant. So you've got a lot of sound science with C, ascorbic acid.
What about various forms of the calciums?
The only one I encourage is either the one you make with a citric acid or vinegar. The vinegar one, if you make your own with eggshell, or you buy the calcium citrate, as long as there's either vitamin D or magnesium with it, and there should be a 2-to-1 ratio of calcium to magnesium. To act as a carrier. Vitamin D can interfere with magnesium. So, and I've just found this out within the last year, so it's not a good idea to mix the two. If you can find a vitamin, a calcium supplement that has a 2-to-1 ratio with just calcium and magnesium, go for it.
What about vitamin E?
The only vitamin E I tell people to take is out of a bottle of olive oil or almond oil. Take a teaspoon of that twice a day. Unless you're buying it in a rice bran oil or a palm oil, olive oil source, leave it on the shelf. Majority of that is soy.
What do you do about recommendations of different oils?
I give them walnut oil for omega-3. I give them sesame seed oil, sunflower oil, wheat germ oil, almond oil, apricot oil for omega-6s, any one of those. I may give them perilla oil for omega-3. I may give them the chia seed oil for omega-3. I may tell them to eat walnuts and chia seeds. Make sure you grind them. For omega-9s, I'll give them pumpkin seed oil, macadamia nut oil, olive oil, avocado oil. If women are having a displacement toward too much testosterone, I cut out the omega-9s. The omega-9s can increase testosterone, so I would have them back off of that. I don't encourage any fish oils. I don't push them at all. They've all been tested. Not one of them didn't have mercury in them. So if you're going to be using a fish oil, then make sure you do the vitamin C and NAC with it to neutralize any impact from the mercury. If you're going to give your children DHA for their brain and brain development, you give them a microalgae source, not a fish source, a microalgae. It's a lot cleaner and a lot safer.
What about the chia? You brought up the chia, and what do you do it? What is it?
You buy chia seeds. Make sure you grind them down, because if you wet up a chia seed, it releases a mucilage or gelatinous material. And if you haven't broken them down properly in your gut, they will stick to your intestinal wall. I had a guy come in here about 3 weeks ago. He took a handful of chia seeds and started eating them, and all of a sudden he felt pain in his lower GI, on the right side, in the middle, down below, and near the left side of the track. So what I showed him was, I said, here, let me show you what you did. So I put some chia seed, add a little bit of water, just enough to moisten the seeds. They were covered in the water. In 5 minutes, the seeds had absorbed the moisture, and then as I was twirling it around the glass, and I got a glass container, the stuff started sticking. I said, and this is what happens inside of you if you don't break it down. Somebody's going to say, well, your stomach acid should break it down. Majority of you are not producing enough stomach acid to barely break down fruit. Again, those of you who've got a cast iron stomach, you're probably still 20, 25 years old, and you can probably still eat nails. Wait till you get to 40, 50, and 60 when you are paying the price for the damaged gut line you're doing in your earlier years. This is what happens. As we get older, we don't produce these things like we used to. And as a result, because of these foods that have been damaging our organs over a period of time, nothing works right. So again, with the chia seed, and make sure everybody powders them down to a fine powder before you sprinkle them on your oatmeal or whatever you're going to put them on before you eat. So at least it's small enough to pass through.
So it is a mucilage, though, even when it's ground?
It should still produce it. The thing is, though, it's small enough where it's not going to pack anywhere. And if you're mixing it with other things, it should mix better as well.
What about bentonite?
I don't play with it. They've got lead and aluminum in them. There's arguments saying, well, you don't absorb it in the gut. I don't buy it. You got enough. That's where we ferment our minerals, so I don't buy it. If I'm going to give anybody anything, I'll give them Dimatius clay or Dimatius earth. It doesn't have the lead in it. It does have small amounts of aluminum, but they're like a 0.2% or something, so it's very small. If you do have parasites in the system, this stuff will shred them. It will help you get rid of them. It is a detoxifier. If you had some serious poisoning issues going on there, I probably would mix it with a little bit of charcoal as well. I don't play with bentonites. I don't use them. I figured there's other things you can use. I just assume use pectin before I would use bentonite. It will do the same thing. Charcoal will do the same thing.
Well, what is one or two things that we can start today to improve our health? What
one
is
or
the
two
most
things?
Important?
I think the most important thing you can do, honestly, is learn to make your own stuff and start developing your own skills to in your preparation of your food, to things you're buying, what you can, you're combining. I don't get caught up in any kind of dietary thing. I mean, I think of all the diets I've ever read, I think Atkins was the most sound of all of them. His problem was not enough carbohydrates, and that was a problem. But I think all in all, if you lived on his diet for a short time, not forever, because there's not a diet on there you should stay on forever. I don't care what it is. Always change things up. Always, you know, mix things up. That's another key. Don't just keep eating the same thing day in and day out. Mix it up. Give your body variety so that the enzymes don't get wore out, producing, you know, breaking down the same old stuff. Bring in new things, new antioxidants through your foods, new antioxidants through some of the supplements you're using, you know, new antioxidants in some of the juices you're making, the sprouts you're eating, the fermented foods. Steph, you're going to do two things. Two most important things that I can think of always is enzymes and antioxidants. You don't have enough enzymes, doesn't matter what you take, nothing's going to work. That's number one. Enzymes can kill cancer, can regulate your body's defense system, immune system. You've got three different types of enzymes, systemic, digestive, and immune type enzymes. Enzymes, I think, are number one, followed by antioxidants. Fat, saturated fat, creams, they're right at the top of the list as well. I have found just by increasing more of these type of fats, I've tolerated winter better, I've had more energy, I have more endurance, more brain energy, protein for sure. Carbs, keep them to a point where you only take what you need. Anything excessive, especially if they're grains, bread, cereals, things like this, can be problematic for a lot of you because of previous damage from bad eating choices when you were younger. A lot of people are feeling the effect of their guts, I guess, from, you know, all the junk they ate in their teen years and their developmental years where their organs were taking the most abuse.
What about the coconut oil?
Use it, as long as it's in glass. If it's in plastic, leave it alone. Leave it on the shelf. Start thinking in terms. This has got five different acids in it. Lauric acid, monolauric acid, caprylic acid, caproic acid. This stuff breaks down the plastics. Contrary to what they tell you about, you know, oh, it's a high-grade plastic, blah, blah, blah. That's a xenoestrogen. Okay, that xenoestrogen is going to bind with that saturated fat. You consume it. Guess what? Now you have that estrogen, both men and women. Get it in glass. Get it in glass, knock yourself out.
Well, Anthony, I want to thank you for staying up late and enlightening our audience with a lot of interesting information. I hope somebody learned something from what you, and I hope a bunch of things from what you brought us this evening. And
I learned a bunch of things.
Well, you know, I always get hit when I overwhelm people, and I do. I do it on purpose. Because I want to stimulate the gray matter. You know, we've got to start, again, looking at what's going on. People tell me all the time, well, you know, I've been eating this all my life. 50 years ago, food was different. You could eat a blade of grass 50 years ago right off the ground, not to worry about dying from monoxide poisoning. Today, you can't do that. And so we have to be a lot smarter in what we're doing, even with our vitamins. You know, when a company goes through a lot of trouble of doing a lot of research, and then they combine a brand new idea with a toxic food, that should ring bells within you. You know, when you read these things, you say, wait a minute, they've added canola with this product. They've added soy with this product. Well, you know, put it back on the shelf. That will leave them, that's where the biggest power consumers have, individuals have, the right to put things back on the shelf. No matter what you're buying, whether it's at a bargain basement store or main chain, put it back. Leave it there. If everybody in your listening audience told one person not to buy margarine, and we did this for a month, and they lost, you know, and let's say you got 10 million people listening to the show. If 10 million told 10 million, that's 20 million people. At $3 a pop, that's a lot of money lost. You know, that's a network. That's really important that we really start this kind of network, because the only way you're going to undermine those who are in power is by hitting them where it hurts, in their pocketbook.
Well, again, I want to thank you for a great evening of information, and I hope we can do this again, Anthony.
Listen, anytime, give me a shout.
Okay.
You know, if you're still there, if they haven't shot me or anything, I'm still here, if I'm still this plane of existence, give me a call. We'll do her again. What do you think?
Okay, well, sure enough. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, eh?
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now if I do this right.